So there are these things in the church year that come around every year. Easter, Christmas Eve, stewardship. Do you know how hard it is to be like inventive when you have, oh Lord. So stewardship. Merriam-Webster is my friend, so I turn to the dictionary to refresh myself on what this concept means. Stewardship is the responsibility of overseeing and protecting that which is considered worth caring for, preserving, and passing on. Stewardship. The responsibility of overseeing and protecting that which is worth caring for, preserving, and passing on. That definition last Monday led me to ask the deacons and the council members, what's the most valuable thing you have to pass on to the generations that are coming? You got a little card coming in today because I want to know what you think is the most valuable as well. But I already asked the deacons and the council members, and on page 5 of your bulletin, you'll see what their responses were. It was fabulous. What they said was valuable and worth caring and worth passing on were things like love and faith. And Cindy Alton talked about her relationship with Jesus. And Jane talked about her relationship with her family story and passing the story on. Ted in the deacons meeting said, look, if you know Micah 8, you get it. Love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with your God. I won't quote the Lou Reed part he quoted in the deacons meeting. But if you look at that list, one of the fascinating things is that nothing on that list is anything you can bank or count. That which we hold as most valuable, you cannot take to the bank. You can't count it, but you can count on it. What we steward, beloved of God, are those values and ethics that we want our children to know. And Art was the very first one to respond. You were my first answer, Art. And yours was this integrity and hard work. What we steward, what we want to pass on, are those deep things we believe, those things that are the architects of our lives, those things that make us who we are. And the more I looked at that list and the emails that were sent to me by all of the leaders of this church, I got it. Stewardship, this stewardship season, is not about the dollars primarily. It's about our story. We steward our story. We pass on to our children and those generations coming behind us our story. Even after we're gone from the face of the earth, what is left is our story. Those values and those ethics, that architecture of life that we hold as important. And it was no different in Isaiah's time. If you heard what Don read from the second chapter of Isaiah, you have to place it in context. Israel had forgotten God's story. Israel had forgotten that God had said to them, your job, my people, is to be a blessing to all of the nations. That was the first thing God asked Abram to remember and hold on. That was constitutive of Israel's story, be a blessing to the nations. They had forgotten that their job was to be in leadership and show other people what it is to follow a loving and gracious and present God. Israel had forgotten that God had said to them, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will turn from heaven and I will heal their land. I will prosper them. Israel had forgotten all of that. And so in the first chapter of Isaiah precedes what Don read for us. The prophet says to the people, sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, who've despised the Holy One of Israel. You are utterly estranged. You have forgotten your story. But into that space, Isaiah steps and he says to Israel, I know your true story. I know the story that you are supposed to hold in your being and speak from your mouth. I know your true story, Israel, and it's not just about you. God has chosen and blessed you, but your whole story is not just about you. It's still about all of the nations. Israel, Isaiah says, here's your story. That God's house will be so high that your life will have reflected the good things of God, that nations will come from all directions and they will come up to God's house and they will say, here we will find the instruction that we need. Here we will be trained and educated. Here we'll be graced and blessed. Isaiah says, this is your true story, that your light should shine so brightly that men and women will rush to know what God has taught you. And Israel, so powerful is your story that those who hear it, those who receive this instruction, will take their swords and beat them into plowshares and take their spears and beat them into pruning hooks. Israel, your story is so strong that implements of war will be turned into implements of farming, that implements of death will be turned into implements that bring life. Israel, this is your true and authentic story. But if you read more of Isaiah, you'll find out that they didn't receive it. In fact, Israel turned to Egypt and turned to Babylonia for their protection. Israel turned away from their God over and over, and it took generations before they could again reach out and embrace their true story. But Isaiah is not the last one to stand and to pronounce, to decree a story. When Jesus stood on that mountain, a mountain that is unnamed, but to which the 11 disciples were called in Matthew, when Jesus stood on that mountain, he gathered them to tell them a story. He gathered them in the moments before he ascended to heaven, and the story he said to them was, I want you to make disciples. Be very clear about that verb make. It is to teach. It is to accompany. It is matateo. It is to be with. It is to share. I want you to gather people around them, and I want you to share the story, because if they hear my story, then they will want to come make disciples by telling the story. And then he says, and baptizo in the Greek means to wash. It means to tell the story in such a way that people feel like that which has held them back and held them down is washed off of them. Tell the story in such a way that that activity of baptism brings them up to new life, washed from the old life, regenerated and in a community that receives them. Baptism was about bringing somebody into the fold so that they were not alone, so that they did not have to travel by themselves. Walk with them, teach them, bring them in as your brothers and sisters, as disciples, and then show them they have this new way of living in the midst of community, and teach everything I have commanded you. That's why I've been sending you those emails with the red letters, so we would know what we were told. We would know the parts of our story. Jesus says, teach them and I'll be with you. Teach them the story. Make it your story. Because, beloved, our world is in need of that story. Our world is in need of a story that says no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've committed, you are not far from God, for nothing can separate you from the love of God. That story is about come everybody close because I welcome all. That story is in opposition to the world's story. The world's story is of hate and of greed, and God's story is of servant leadership. The world's story is of me and mine, and God's story is of all. The world is in need of a story for the broken and the lost, in need of a story for those whom the church has hurt with the church's story, in need of holiness. And never be confused by that word. Holiness is being set apart for God in a sacred way. The world is in need of a set of guidelines that can judge, because not everything is permissible. And our God gives us guidelines that show us how to walk in love. We, you and I, are stewards of this story, and it is worth more than gold. It is a story that says to someone who feels like they have no place to be, you have a place here. It is a story that says even to the immigrants who are flooding into Europe, that we have been told through Father Abraham, we're to be a blessing to all the nations. So we find a way to stand in that gap. The story is one of arms open and hearts available and souls turned toward the story that Jesus gave us. Beloved, it's stewardship season. Yes, we ask for your support, for your money, but please know that's not it. The support that this church receives enables us to tell the story, to tell the story through mission trips, to tell the story through mats that we have knitted and are planning to give away to those who are homeless, to tell the story through the backpacks that Art gave us that we're gonna fill and give to people who are homeless, to tell the story through produce that will be here, that will feed some family that can't afford fresh produce, to tell the story when you put your arm around someone who is hurting and simply say, I'm with you. We are stewards. But it's not of nickels and dimes. It's not of dollars and checks. We are stewards of a story. And it's not a story of our own making. It's a story in which we fit ourselves to be the hands and feet, the voice and heart of the one who said, a new commandment I give you. Teach them everything I've commanded you. A new commandment I give you. Love. We're stewards of that story. May God grant us power and courage and strength to bring our resources that we might be able and good stewards of that story, of His story, wherever, whenever we are called to speak. We are called to be God's prophets, showing by our lives His grace, one in heart and one in spirit, sign of hope for all the race. Let us show how He has changed us and remade us as His own. Let us show that His story, Christ's story, is that which we believe is important, that which we believe is worthy of caring for and preserving and passing on. That, beloved, is our real stewardship.